comfortable humidity for this time of year. Certainly lower than it's been the last few days. High in the mid-80s, low of about 70 degrees on Sunday night. So, there you go.
You're going up to Vermont?
You got your one beach day in there.
I have a show up at a brewery there tomorrow.
Which one?
Me and Krista Weiss are road tripping. A foam brewery. Name one of the best breweries in Vermont in 2016.
Rain will be over in time for Winter Kill Hicks.
I don't really care about that, though. Apparently, it just...
Did I just call Winter Kill Hicks?
I will be Winter Kill Hicks.
This is going...
Not Winter Kill
Hicks.
Where
is your mind, Derek?
That's going to be the first one that I miss in many years.
Boston comedian community, not to fret. I will be back.
Wait, you're not going?
You're not going? I'm going to poke you in the boob.
So sorry.
Wow, fail. But,
I will be back... From Vermont in time.
I honestly forgot.
I can't go till the afternoon, but fear not, pals. I will be there.
I have a lot of poutine to eat.
If you're eating poutine, then I'm going to let that slide.
You and Jeff Ferguson.
Says, oh, poutine.
When we come back, did you hear all the other stories that caught our attention this week right here on WMFO Medford?
Sirloin is a popular family steak. All sirloins are excellent eating, but there are some slight differences. To get the most lean meat for your money, look for a sirloin steak with a round bone. To get the most tender sirloin, look for one with a long, flat bone. You can broil or pan broil sirloin steak if it's graded USDA Prime, Choice, or Good. If you want more tips on buying steak, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
I'm Sarah, and this is my story.
I'm Ellen, and this is my story.
One night, I was at a bar. I was having fun with my friends.
I had one too many drinks.
I got behind the wheel to go home.
I got a cab to go home.
All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road. It happened so quickly, I barely had time to react.
The cabbie barely had time to react.
I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I can't believe it. I hit a guy.
I cannot believe it. The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Don't drive buzzed. It's a decision you'll never regret. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, are Derek Gary and Lisa Nichols. We will be with you here till 9 o'clock. If you feel like calling in to yell at us, agree with us, whatever suits your fancy, you can do so at 855-915-9636. And now it's time for one of our favorite segments called Did You Hear? Where we quiz each other on the biggest news events that we haven't already covered of the week past. And as always, to kick it off is the lovely and talented Lisa Nichols.
Thank you. What am I going to start off with, you guys?
I know. This is a tough one.
You know
week.
What? I'm going to give a little softball here. Nice and easy. Let's ease into this.
Just lob one in.
Iceberg.
Right ahead. Sorry, that's just an instinct.
Lettuce?
Nope. Iceberg?
Part
of it is
the
name.
Antarctica, or the North Pole, one of them is...
Which one?
The North Pole.
So one of the weighs 1.8
Antarctica.
Billion tons.
Antarctica.
That's true.
I was going to say, it broke off of Antarctica in a way that scientists are a bit... baffled by.
It's coming to kill us all.
Yeah, a giant iceberg about the size of Delaware had been under scientists' watch, had broken off from an ice shelf in Antarctica Peninsula,
and
is now adrift in the Weddell Sea. 2,200 square miles, trillion metric ton section of the Larsen Sea ice shelf calved off sometime between Monday and Wednesday. A team of research at the Swansea University Project, MIDAS, reported, citing images from NASA's Aqua satellite. This is how big it is. A satellite picks it up.
Can we please, please finally all admit that global warming exists?
Hey, it's...
Come on,
it's
man.
It's 75 during Christmas time. I am happy.
Yeah. Scientists have I'm not saying you have to be unhappy about it. I'm just saying please admit
scientists
it exists.
Have tracked the crack for more than a decade. That's a fun
If I had a nickel.
And they warned in June that the section was hanging on by thread, and its break from Antarctica's fourth largest ice shelf continues the border shape of the peninsula forever, even though the remaining ice shelf will continue to grow. So, yeah, you may say global warming is a thing, but
this is
we
what,
still have ice.
This is what ice shelves do.
Yeah.
This is what they do. They break off, they float around in the ocean, and then more ice grows.
Are they usually the size of Delaware?
Sure. Absolutely. We don't,
sure, totally.
To be honest, we don't know because we've only been able to observe these things for about 60 years.
Thus, the benefits of having satellite imaging.
So, yeah, it's exciting to see. And it's like, but this whole idea that, oh, well, you know, it's all the jet airlines and the fact that you're running your cell phone all the time that's causing this. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Ay, ay, ay.
All right, Shay, you're up.
Oh, I was going to say, this is... There's like fun ones. I can't stop saying like. We started talking about California. I get it on the brain. How about... I had a good one. Qatar cow.
Cutter.
I looked up the three different... There's three different ways to pronounce it, but Cutter, you're going with that one?
Qatar.
Qatar bear?
Is this related to Qatar bear?
Qatar cow. How's that?
Qatar cow. So I'm assuming there is cow in Qatar that has done something.
The only thing I've been following out of Qatar is the...
I was going to say.
The ongoing war of words between... Qatar and the rest of the Arabian Peninsula.
Mm-hmm. This is largely related to that,
backed
actually.
By
well,
the
president
States.
Of Iran declared
Screw you,
victory
in the air,
over brother. ISIS, and Qatar is somehow involved in that.
Literally, I was like, is it Qatar or Qatar? And then I looked it up, and everyone was like...
Qatar.
But fine, a... Qatari company has airlifted 160 cows into the tiny Arab state to help ease the shortage of dairy products caused by a blockade from its neighbors, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Egypt, and Bahrain, cut ties and severed transport links with Qatar last month after alleging it supported terrorists. The airborne bovine delivery is the first of hundreds expected over the coming weeks as the Baladna farm, based just outside Doha, looks to ramp up fresh milk production. The animals arrived on a Qatar Airways flight, cargo flight from Budapest, Hungary.
Who knew Bahrain was such a, economic staple for dairy products?
Bahrain's the one country over there that nobody's like, that nobody cares. It's Bahrain. They're like, yeah, you do whatever you want there. They get along with everybody. It's like, yeah, they're okay.
Well, that's, I was going to say, well, that's telling you something. If they're like, nope, no more cows. Can't have cows. By the way, I always mess up pronunciation. I read, I don't watch videos. I'm a 20th century girl. Shut up.
Communion wafers.
Taste disgusting.
I would expect Lisa to get this one.
Because I'm a good Christian.
I was an altar server. Why would you expect Lisa to get it, not me?
Because she's usually a little, she's got the grand. She's a little more plugged into what's happening in church.
Was there?
This is your people, it's both of your people.
I occasionally say my Hail Marys and Our Fathers. Was there some sort of... tainting of them?
No.
Some sort of...
I know this one. Quite the opposite, actually. It's that they would be tainted were they to be gluten free.
It's you're in the right.
Like they're not
here.
Like they can't. They basically can't be gluten free. No, because I am Irish Catholic. I overhear things.
You're in the wheelhouse with this. Communion wafers don't count.
I work at a country club, Lisa.
Unless there is gluten in them.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's something about
Pope
that
Francis.
People want them to be gluten free.
Exactly.
And
so
the church
all those
is like,
people
no,
that
no.
are lying. that actually don't have celiac right. go into the restaurant.
Which is, you know, 98% of people who say they're allergic to gluten.
And tell me that they have gluten allergies when in fact they're drinking beer. But no, that's okay.
Yeah.
They're fine. You're a bad Catholic.
Yeah, the Pope, the Pope has put his foot down and said no gluten-free communion wafers. Mm. The wafers must have some gluten
Take
in them
that.
Or it's not a communion wafer.
I think this we'll is allow the back most I've church. Ever been like, yeah, church, yep. get it.
We'll allow people now to be divorced and we'll welcome you with arms. But God forbid if you lie about being, well, two sins. One, that you have a gluten intolerance. And two, you lied.
But this does answer one of the great mysteries of faith that we've been wondering about for a long time. Which part of the bread is Jesus in? He's in the gluten. Jesus is in the gluten.
Jesus is in my gluten. You'll never take that away.
That's what makes the bread bready.
Yeah.
Like, and the whole point was that it's supposed to symbolize actual... And no, I actually see the Pope's logic there, because the whole... Like I said, I was an altar server. I know way more about this than I'd like to. But the whole idea is that it's supposed to symbolize bread and the a loaf of bread, and the main classic ingredient in a loaf of bread is indeed gluten.
I put this under the category of, doesn't the Pope have anything more important to do than worry about what's in the communion wafers?
You'd think so, but everyone's so butthurt over everything these days that apparently it's something worthy ahead of one of the biggest religions in the world.
Divorce.
It's also one of those that you can just sort of throw out an edict in 2 seconds. No gluten, no communion, move on. What's next?
Yeah. Tufts Medical Center.
Yeah. It's a weird thing to say as we're sitting in something owned by Tufts. I hope it's not something bad.
It's not a good look.
2,700?
No.
700?
Nope.
Higher, 27,000?
You're right in between.
1,400?
Super close. 1,200.
Okay, 1,200 nurses walked out today to launch a one-day strike over wages and staffing levels. Tufts Health Center has locked them out until Monday. So they had the weekend off. They maintain that this isn't about money. However, Tufts points out that they didn't even look at the most recent agreement or the most recent offer they put on the table before deciding to go on strike. So somebody here is not telling the entire truth.
Yeah. So 1,200 nurses, crazy.
Yeah.
Yowza. Canadian coin. Oh, Canadian coin Germany. There, I'll make it a little easier.
Canadian coin Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Is this about the Canadian banks raising the interest rate for the first time in 7 years?
Not even a little bit.
Canadian coin Germany?
Yeah. And note that I said Canadian coin, not coins.
Single coin.
Mm-hmm.
No idea?
Nope. Well, German special police commandos have arrested four men aged 18 to 20 suspected of stealing a gold coin worth about $4 million from Berlin's Bode Museum, but they failed to find the coin. The arrest came today as part of an investigation involving 300 police officers, but officials say they believe the 220-pound Canadian big maple leaf coin made with unusually pure gold has been melted down. Police and prosecutors told reporters the four men, aged between 18 and 20 years old, were linked to an Arab clan suspected of being involved in other similar crimes, such as jewelry theft. The coin, which is 53 centimeters or 20 inches in diameter and 3 centimeters or just around an inch thick, even made it into the Guinness Book of World Records for its unrivaled degree of purity. It was lent to the museum in December of 2010. The museum has one of the world's largest coin collections with more than 540,000
items.
How big
is that?
It's 20 inches. So think like
so that's almost
a ruler,
it's
like
almost
more
my
than
waist.
A ruler and a half.
Yeah.
Quit showing off. It's almost my waist. I'm going to punch her. I hope you can all hear it through a microphone.
A record is 12 inches.
Yeah, I'm just assuming that all these guys
picture
are walking
a ruler,
around with
picture
some
a ruler and
right
add two-thirds of a ruler to it. And that's how, if you can look up a picture, like I said, it's called the Canadian Big Maple Leaf Coin. It's 220 pounds.
This isn't a coin. This is a bicycle wheel. Is what it is.
That is called a coin.
Heavy bicycle wheel.
You can call anything you want a coin. This is a bicycle wheel.
But I thought, well, what a perfect not a perfect crime, obviously, because they got caught. But how funny that it's like, oh, you can't find it. But wait, it was pure gold. Yeah. It's probably a bunch of dumb teenagers' bracelets now.
I was going to say, did they check the soda machine? And then you told me the size of it. And yeah. I was like, no.
Yeah, no, you're not.
They're not.
You're not fitting this through that slot.
They didn't get on the soda machine. Wow, yikes. Cell phone in the tub.
If you said cell phone in the toilet, I'd say what my niece did to my sister's cell phone the other day.
But that one I do not know. There have been an increase in incidents of people dropping their cell phone, taking selfies in the tub.
No.
Could have taken mine in the tub.
I got nothing.
Great try.
No, I was going to say, you're like, yeah, I love it. I was like, are we basing this on personal experience, Lisa?
I have no idea.
That is what killed 14-year-old Madison Coe of Lubbock, Texas.
Oh, snap.
She was in the bathtub, had plugged her cell phone in to recharge it, and reached to get it, at which point her life ended. They found her in the tub with severe burns on one hand and assumed the rest. The thing that is surprising to me is you don't hear about this happening more often. But apparently this story is now spreading as a big cautionary tale among young people online, which is a good thing.
I'm just going to go by personal experience.
I was
going to
say, this is going to be like a don't.
Maybe don't do bathrooms that I've been in. The cord does not reach from the electrical outlet to the tub. In this case, clearly it was, because I know there's typically like a vanity is right next to the bathtub or shower.
Yeah.
Anywhere that I've lived, no.
We got outlets next to the tub.
But don't get me wrong. I've used it. I've taken beer selfies.
We got outlets next to the tub, so you can do that.
Well, and it stands to reason, too, that were it not plugged in, this wouldn't have happened. Because typically, if it's not plugged in, you drop a phone in water, bam, it dies.
So sorry. Yeah, you're getting the rice and you're trying to dry it out.
Yeah. Oh my God, you're the one that taught me that trick, actually, years ago.
But
you're like,
in my apartment,
you're like, hang on. I would say, you're like, hang on, I'm going to get you a bag of rice. Totally works, by the way.
I'm
like Lisa Nichols,
MacGyver.
America worker.
Even if it is,
at least with cell phones.
Even if it is plugged in, that connection should be fairly watertight and there should be some sort of a breaker on the outlet that would shut it off.
Unless it's like my cord, which is completely frayed on the end.
The other thought that I had is that, which happens to me quite often, like say I'm like charging my phone, I'm sitting on the couch, I don't want to move. When I go to grab for it, to reach for it, I'll like pull out the plug a bit.
Yeah.
And then it may have just been that she pulled out the plug a bit. It got water in just the right place as it was in her hand, and biggity boom.
Yeah. So and by you know reading the stories about this, heartbreaking, because she was a tuba player. She was a band girl. She was like, she was the kind of girl that we'd want to hang out with and be like, hey, you're awesome. You know, so really.
I'm gonna say, anyone who's rocking the tuba, I'm like, yeah, I get
really,
it.
Really, really sad story out of Lubbock, Texas, and a good cautionary tale to everybody. Don't even bring the charger into the bathroom. Don't even have it in there. Avoid that temptation.
Everybody uses their phone on the toilet
But the phone is fine. Don't ever bring the charger into the bathroom.
Don't have it connected to, you know, electricity.
All right, last one for you all. Marine Corps. Technically, you could go two places with the story. I'm talking about the bigger of the two, in my opinion.
1, 2, 3, 4. I love Marine Corps.
That's the song, not the story.
Yeah. We'll give Shay a chance to fumble around and
because I know both stories.
I mean, I'm looking at Facebook, son. I got harassed last night. It was really fun. I'm still looking at the backlash. I don't know. Unless you're talking about what my grandfather used to say, which is there are two ways to do things, Navy way or the right way. Do you want to be in the Navy or do you want to be a Marine? And I'm like, I want my parents to pick me up. Other than that, I got nothing.
16 Marines killed yesterday morning when the refueling helicopter that they were on board crashed. South Carolina?
Over Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
I did read about that.
There's more to this story. Because
they really don't know what happened. The KC-130 Hercules aircraft disappeared from air traffic control radar over Mississippi after taking off from Cherry Point, North Carolina, plunged into a soybean field at 4 p.m. on Monday, Mississippi's Lafoy County, about 100 miles north of Jackson.
But here's the thing. These are not, first of all, you don't need 16 people to run a refuel copter.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to make right. That's rather confusing about this story.
Second, these guys are like special operations guys. So whether it was a training mission or they were deploying, nobody's saying anything. It's always sad to see something like this happen.
Here's what's interesting also. It was transporting equipment and people to the Navy facility in El Centro, California. Equipment on board included small arms, ammunition, and personal weapons.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Something.
Are we talking about?
Also found
more arms.
Was a parachute that had not been deployed.
If it's a deployment, which if you got 16 people on that helicopter, it probably is. Where are they going? Yeah. And if they're going to California, really, where are they going? I'll tell you where they're going. South Korea.
Yeah.
So this is...
I would say that would be like the... California would be the refueling spot. Or Hawaii.
Well, they're taking the thing out there and then they're going to move it someplace else. Or yeah. They're moving these people someplace else. So now 2 and 2 start to add up on this one.
Mm.
Sad. I hate to see that happen.
Yeah, and it's also somewhat terrifying. let's see. What do I want to do for my last one? I still have some good ones left. I can't decide. I already did that one. Derek probably knows this one.
Derek knows everything.
Derek knows everything. Heart attack.
So I'm going to have, because you take forever to make a decision. heart attack.
Cry about it.
What day? Monday, Tuesday?
Yesterday, and then like more officially today.
Heart attack. I feel like it was linked to something.
Guys,
that caused some correlation.
No, I saw this headline. People who are happy are less likely to have a heart attack.
Well, that's a given. No, you're.
I'm not saying no. Like no, that's not true.
People
I'm saying
are happier
no, that's not what I'm
with
referencing.
Generosity.
This is about...
That was a story out today.
That was the warm and fuzzy... Yeah.
Oh, and about coffee. And apparently, people feeling. Who drink a lot of coffee, ironically, are less likely to have a heart attack. That is also not what I'm talking about, though.
I have no idea.
Researchers say they developed a better way of scanning someone's heart to predict who is at most at risk for a heart attack or stroke long before conventional imaging methods can do it. By the time someone knows he or she has blocked arteries, it's usually too late to do much more than bypass surgery or putting a stent to prop open the narrowed vessels. Sometimes a heart attack or stroke is the very first symptom, with about 750,000 Americans having one every year. I'm bad at pronouncing stuff. This is going to be rough. Dr. Charalambos Antoniades of University of Oxford and their colleagues reported that they have developed a new imaging method that detects inflamed fat cells as they are transforming into the inflamed hardened plaques that clog up arteries. According to the researchers' report in the journal Science Translational Medicine, if the method holds up, doctors should start patients on drugs such as statins far earlier than they do now in time to save them from ever even developing heart disease.
What do you know about fried food? Put down those donuts.
I conducted my own heart attack test this morning at breakfast while eating chicken, biscuits and gravy, and
chicken waffles.
Breakfast sandwich on a croissant, and actually, it came up positive. So,
there's no four meats for breakfast. You get one meat
on
maybe
a croissant,
two.
And this is actually in your neighborhood. Pignons. I still don't pronounce it correctly.
Pignons.
Oh, good.
Pignons.
I'm not the only person that mispronounces things.
It's pignons. The guy didn't have a pig.
Ham.
He has no pig. He's pignon.
Ham, bacon, sausage, and hash.
You're Italian. It's panoni. You should know that.
But it's funner when we say pignons.
Because the guy didn't have a pig.
All right. Derek, last one for you. What are you going with?
Get it.
All right. This is either one of you, I would expect to have seen this story.
I wonder if it's one of mine.
Best tippers.
Guys who want to see you naked.
Businessmen that want to see you naked.
Tomato.
best tippers.
I'm going to say, you think that Lisa and I specifically would definitely know whatever this is.
It's clearly we're going the sex way. So it's either men or women. I would assume that men are better tippers because women are.
Or just people in the service industry could be the way that it goes.
Yes.
Because I know I tip like 25%, even if, that's not true. If the service was crap, I live in 20% and leave them a note saying, this isn't your calling.
Neither of you has been within 10 miles of this story, obviously. According to a survey from creditcards.com, the best tippers are Republican, male, and from the Northeast.
Hey, so yeah, we said people who
you
want to see you naked.
How I'm going to tell you this right now, Derek, and I told you multiple times, I, being in the service industry, I have gotten multiple $100 gym bills just handed to me when I tell them that I am a conservative Republican.
Yeah.
During the whole entire, and I use that to my benefit.
She
I got high fives.
She got
her
in a MAGA hat.
And shocked. And so many times people are like, you know, whenever I say, I also do a radio show, what about politics? They look at me and say, you're probably voting for Hillary Clinton. I go, actually, no. I go, you want to get into it? I'm a millennial that hates my generation. I call it a cupcake generation. We're unique little snowflakes. And I am, in fact, a fiscally conservative, majority socially liberal Republican. And they fall over. And then I get the $100.
And then the money starts coming out.
Are you learning something here, liberal girl? See, whereas I tell them absolutely nothing about my political standings and just use my Cheshire Cat smile and round face and tilt it and go, aren't I cute? And then I get a $100 bill. It's really lovely how it works. I'm not.
And we all have our different ways. I work a little harder
Best tippers are more likely to use a debit or credit card. The worst tippers.
That's true.
The absolute worst tippers.
I'm
Democrats.
Say Southern.
Yes, Southerners and women.
That I believe, particularly when it's a woman serving them, because women are inherently catty. Lisa, I love you, but come on, you can agree with this.
And people who pay cash. Apparently, there are people in the South who don't agree with the concept of tipping.
See
at
that?
All.
The cash,
oh, that's so
the cash
strange.
One, though,
I don't have any tourists that come to my place at all.
The cash one, though, I feel like is kind of it can go this way or that way. Because on the one hand, yes, people who pay with cash typically, that's why I always, whenever people ask me, like what's like your pet peeves? Like, what's something you would say like would be the worst thing a server could do? And I say, when you pick up the bill and say, do you need change? To which I always respond, well, now I do. But it's always, I'll be right back with that for you and wait for them to say it's all set. But with cash, you can go one of two ways, because a lot of times people who pay with cash are people that pay very close attention to their money. But on the flip side, say it's like a $60 bill and you did really well, they might just toss down 80 and say, eh, screw it, and let you keep the whole thing. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it can go either way.
Lisa knows I always pay cash. I always tip well.
I always use cash and...
that's why I'm saying, like, I don't know how much validity the rest of it sounds pretty spot on. But
servers hate when the tip comes on a credit card, even if I'm paying.
Yeah, because then
the
we have to declare our taxes properly.
Yeah. Even when I'm paying with
credit
card.
I mean, just kidding, government. I declare all the money I make.
100%.
Yeah, totally.
Even if I pay with a credit card, I tip in cash.
Mm-hmm. So, oh yeah, that's what I told my mom to do. That I was like, even if you're paying with a credit card, tip them in cash. Yeah. Even if it's gonna be not an outrageously good tip, it's still better than having it written on the credit card slip.
So there you go. Male, Republicans, Northeast, best tippers. Ladies.
Suddenly so glad I work at a country club.
Ladies, just remember which side of the bread is buttered, or I don't know what the, yeah. See a guy comes in making a MAGA, wearing a MAGA hat, give him some good service, you get a good tip. That's what I'm saying.
And then just scream in the walk-in fridge where they can't hear you.
Correct. Hey, you know what? That filthy Trump money counts out the same as every other kind of money that's out there. You just want to get your hands on it. 855-915-9636. This is The Big Picture. Coming up at 9 o'clock tonight on the Talent Mikey D, everything you need to know about the Boston music scene right here on WMFO. When we come back, the newspaper industry is having a tough time. They're having a really tough time. Billionaires are wondering if they can continue to run their newspapers. And they have a solution that will make you scream. We'll be there with that right after this.
Hi, this is James Brown, soul brother number one, always fighting. Now I'm fighting for your life. I'm fighting for your life because if you use drugs, you better leave it alone. Drugs are contagious. They're killers. Every drug is a killer. Stay away from drugs. Drugs will take your life away. And if you want to live, stay away from drugs. Because they are super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad.
In the world of fairy tales, Sleeping Beauty had three good fairies to protect her. But in our world, protecting the beauty of the forest is the responsibility of everyone.
Listen well, all of you.
9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans and can be prevented.
We'll all pitch in. If humans can do it, so can we.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Log on to SmokeyBear.com to find out what you can do. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. He is Derek Gary. She is Chase Blaine. I am Lisa Nichols here with you every Wednesday night. As always, from 7 to 9, and you can call us up at 855-915-9636. And there is a battle royale brewing, and media industry wants to get in the ring with Google and Facebook.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we don't on this show condemn mainstream media enough.
No.
But also,
they're good people.
Equally, we knock on Facebook and Google. So for years, news organizations have had little recourse but to cede more distribution and advertising dollars to Facebook and Google. And at some points, even agreeing to give away articles in hopes to get a wider digital audience and knowing where our technology is going. And they figured it would pay off in the long run, which has not happened. Profits continually declined in journalism. News media executives have decided that the time is running out for change. So an industry trade group, it's called News Media Alliance. So that accounts for Los Angeles Times, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, score of so many other smaller newspapers.
Don't forget the Washington Post.
The Washington Post, very important.
Don't forget the Post.
Because Washington, it's connected to Washington.
Don't forget the Post.
Yeah, they're calling on federal lawmakers to grant the industry.
Woodward, Bernstein.
It's interesting. To grant the industry an exemption from antitrust rules to negotiate collectively with technology giants. So what does that mean?
That means that Carlos Slim, the world's richest man, who also happens to own a large share of the New York Times.
Mm-hmm. You don't say.
Jeffrey Bezos, owner of the richest company in the United States of America, also the owner of the Washington Post. And Warren Buffett of Berkshire Hathaway Corporation,
who owns something, huh?
He owns a lot of those small newspapers.
Wait, Warren who? Did you say Buffet?
Is Warren Buffett?
Buffet?
Want Congress to give them a limited monopoly because their businesses don't work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here's a thought. Here's poor billionaires.
I feel so bad for them.
Carlos Slim, you made all your money in cell phones. You understand technology. Jeffrey Bezos, you made all your money in Amazon. You understand technology. Warren Buffett, you could pick a winner from a mile away. Get out. Mm-hmm. All right, Warren Buffett, get out. Hit the road. Sell it. It's over. It's done. It's dead. these other two clowns go find a business model that works, because the problem that they have is Google and Facebook won't return their phone calls. Mm-hmm. They call up Google and Facebook and they say, hey, give us some of your money. And then Sergey Brin and Mark Zuckerberg laugh at them and hang up.
I would say, I think it goes beyond that they won't answer their phone calls, and it's more that they're still using voicemails because they don't want technology to move on. And they probably just play them, Google and Facebook play them at like their press conference or their board meetings. Just like,
some numbers here.
Guys, listen to this dummy.
So banding together news outlets would have more leverage against the two companies that command more than 70% of a $73 billion digital advertising industry. That's in the United States in 2016. $18 billion down from $50 billion a decade ago.
So here's a thought. Why don't you put out a product that people actually want and then put in some advertising that people actually want? Mm-hmm. Google isn't doing anything magic over here.
See, this is the problem. And what mainstream, what your journalism has done throughout the years, they thought they never had a change. It's like a restaurant.
Yeah.
For a long-standing restaurant to be viable, to last for, you know, say a generation or whatnot, you need to constantly be changing with trends, with the ongoing...
Like rise with the times, basically.
Exactly. And it's the same thing with newspapers. And what they found themselves doing is never changing, never getting into the digital. I had this conversation with somebody that I work with just yesterday. And talking about, if you look at the sports media industry, so many years ago, Sports Illustrated was the only one, and there was such a huge area for somebody to jump on the market. Sports Illustrated could have went to television, but no, they stayed with just journalism.
Yeah.
That had an opening for something like an ESPN.
Yeah.
They capitalized on that, and look what they're doing now.
Yeah, well, ESPN's going down the tubes right now, if you haven't been paying attention.
They're also not too.
Because the damn millennials won't watch the footballs anymore.
Well, that's the thing, is that I think that this is a classic example of people resting in their laurels is the wrong term, but your Warren Buffett's, your what have you, got so used to just being this oligarchy of, am I using the right word? Oligopoly, sorry, of the media, where it's like these few guys just controlled everything. And the reason they controlled everything was, you know, pre-widespread internet, they were the only ones with the means to get news out there, to deliver all this information. Mm-hmm. So it was like, we can just sit back and hang out and watch all of this happen because we're the only ones that make it possible. Now all of a sudden, you've got literally every person with a Facebook account, with access to Google, with whatever, can come out and say, no, I can tell you this news story. I can put this forth. And guess what? I'm not going to charge you a dime for it. And all you need to do is click a button to find it.
But here's
they're coming up being scratching their heads, being like, shoot, maybe we should have like actually tried. We should have anticipated this happening.
Here's the other problem. Go to any one of their sites. I don't think the New York Times does this anymore, but the rest of them do. You go and you look at an article, and what do they have all over it? Share buttons.
Advertising.
Yeah. No, share buttons. Mm-hmm. Share on Facebook. Share on Twitter. What if you're going to give?
That's the other thing. They've shot themselves in the foot.
Give your content away for free.
But the problem is, it's constant pop-up advertising, which, I mean, you're seeing more and more in social media. But it is. It's this constant pop-up advertising, and for the most part, you can't do it unless you subscribe. So yes, for Boston Globe, you can only read 5 articles a month, and it keeps track of it.
That's 5 more than I want from them, generally speaking.
Yeah, I would rather not rot my brain with nonsense, but that's the reality of where journalism is. And it's not just straight up paper and you turn it. They're trying to do the digital thing, but it wasn't working. So for all of these companies to be sad and in the corner pouting, going to our government and saying, hey, we're really rich, we're really big companies, and we don't like what's going on in the business because we haven't changed with the times.
Can you help us stop progression?
And like, there's not many times that I am going to back up Facebook or Google, because I say it all the time, I believe that I am more stupid for reading Facebook, and the amount of unintelligent, uninformed, it blows my mind on Facebook. But what it is, and they control it for the most part in Facebook, and we know with Google, they're pushing certain news articles up to the top. It's controlling what you're seeing.
Well, and it is, and I'm in no way defending these bigwigs, but it is the problem with the whole onset of Facebook, onset of Google, is I think that all of this is very much, kind of touching on the point I was making before, all of this has lent itself to this trend of fake news or exaggerated, skewed, what have you, whereas it used to be, like I said, it was so not regimented, but much less widely available through so many different avenues that it was enough to just report the news.
The argument that these clowns are making, and they've got a big whiny op-ed.
And again, I'm not defending them. I'm merely, I guess, playing devil's advocate a bit, but not saying that what they're doing is right at all, but just merely saying that it's unfortunate that this is where we're at right now, where it's like, okay, now let's just fight over who gets to tell the same already. Story.
They've got a big whiny op-ed. I think it's in the Wall Street Journal.
No, New York Times.
The New York Times?
Mm-hmm.
No,
there's
a whiny op-ed in the Wall Street Journal. There's a big whiny op-ed out there from the News Association. And the crux of their argument is quality journalism costs money. Mm. Well, where is the quality journalism?
They've been so reactionary to this whole change. It's like, you can't say quality journalism when I read NBC News, and then I read the New York Times, and then I read CNN, and then I read the Washington Post, and it's four different versions of the exact same story.
How many times on this show have we constantly discussed that the Washington Post is one, New York Times another one, that is not using fact anymore? And I get it, that you're like trying to bring in readership.
Yeah, theirs is good.
So you need those clickbait headlines.
How can we juice it up?
Yeah,
and of course, Google and Facebook are the kings of the internet jungle, and they really become the gatekeepers to what you are getting for news.
But that happened because a gap was created by news organizations.
Which they did to themselves.
Okay.
Yeah. They shot themselves in their black and white foot.
Let's take a look at what's on the front page of USAtoday.com right now. Because, boy, it's always
USA Today.
brilliant, life-altering. How Pence is weathering the Donald Trump Jr. revelations. That's their top story.
It's a Dear Diary moment.
Funeral home shut down amid reports of decomposing bodies. That's fun. Woman took motorized Walmart cart after car wouldn't start. Matthews says he'll miss getting to sack Cutler. You know, this is what they got up here. You go to the front page of CNN. Here's what's on Saturday mm-hmm. Night Live the other night. Here's what Colbert had to say about Trump. This isn't news. This is garbage. And the New York Times, and I can't expect the Washington Post to do anything because they're a mouthpiece for Jeffrey Bezos and Amazon.com. Everyone mm-hmm. should stop reading that newspaper because it is a propaganda arm of Amazon.com. That's why it exists. Forget about it. Mm-hmm. They have nothing worthwhile to say anymore. But the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the Boston Globe.
There is still some little hope.
Chicago sometimes. Yeah. These organizations need mm-hmm. to put something compelling out there.
I would say they're the ones that we, instead of pissing and moaning about, oh, times are changing and it's making it hard for us to just chill out and do what we've always done anymore, push the envelope. Hop up and say, okay, times are changing. How do we not go along with this stupid trend of fake news and gotcha clickbait journalism?
And this is why I got into journalism. Derek and I both studied it in college for so many years. It's we have respect for the art of it. Gone are the days where you had these big media houses that put out quality journalism, that you had investigative reporting that went down, that basically risked their lives and their careers and their family's reputations to find a scoop, to find a story. But now it's hearsay. You have a reporter that is fresh out of college that has no idea what they're doing. But it's not even just a reporting. It's the editors. The editors are letting all of this crap pass over and over and over again. And it makes you question or have any sort of trust.
CNN threatened to dox a guy last week.
Recommended on NBCNews.com. This mom says it's perfectly fine to curse in front of your children. You've been picking your oranges wrong at the supermarket. FBI director nominee race. Alone with Trump. Unlikely.
Can we go back on the oranges thing? That's important. This is relevant to my interest. Mm-hmm. But this is your business model failed. And Google isn't returning your phone calls because Google knows you're a joke. And you know why your business model is failing? New York Times, again, Washington Post. It's the Amazon Daily newsletter is really what it is. They I think they had a 20-page spread on Prime Day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Boston Globe, all the rest of you. The American people have realized you're a joke too, because there's no journalism being practiced here anymore. Yeah, once or twice a week you get some actual well-reported story in there, but most of what you're publishing is opinion masquerading as news that is very thinly sourced.
But we're unbiased. Come on.
And
it's a joke.
Go pick up a newspaper from 30 years ago and you'll see what actual unbiased news reporting looks like. When it used to be good.
It's the same thing in mainstream media. You do not see it anymore. It's, I believe, I think, you should think this way. If you think this way, you're a racist, you're a bigot. It's constant opinion.
That's why,
when was journalism ever built on that?
Well, that's why I think I touched on this maybe last week or the week before, but even trying to write the news stories for the local and national news each week, I have to go to all these different news sources before I'm like, what is actual just straightforward truth here that isn't the writer? Because I remember the journalism classes that I took in college, which is part of why he told me, he's like, you're a great writer, but you should veer somewhere else, is he was like, there's too much of you in this.
Yeah.
And that used to be and I respect that. That used to be the norm of, I shouldn't know your personality, your opinion, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, based on something that you would like to have published in a non-editorial, like non-letter, like in a straightforward piece for a major publication. That's not the case anymore. Every single news story I read, I end up being like, I know exactly how this person feels about it. They're not telling me the news. They're telling me how they feel about something that happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. While slightly informing me about it.
That's a storyteller. That's not a...
Yeah, that's not a journalist.
And that's what everything that you're seeing on social media now is... It's I know this for a fact. This is news when in reality it's your opinion.
I can't get through a paragraph of anything anywhere anymore without immediately noticing the bias of the writer and the editor. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I start to tune out. Sorry, billionaire newspaper owners, you backed a loser. So I'm sure Jeffrey Bezos will find some way to use old copies of the Washington Post to package the goods that Amazon sells. So he'll be fine. Warren Buffett can diversify. Carlos Slim, you're the richest man in the world. Write it off. No, you do not deserve a limited monopoly.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dreams.
And it's what's hot, our favorite thing from this week. Two huge events going on in New England.
Huge, as my mother would say.
One of them, two of my favorite things, beer and cheese. So it is, the biggest cheese festival going on in Vermont. That's why I was interested when
Is there polka music?
No polka, but it is.
It's not a cheese festival if there's no polka music.
If you've ever been in the Burlington area, Shelburne area,
they got the mall, don't they? Movie theater across the street.
Amazing. The cheese is up there on Sunday, this Sunday, July 16th. What are you talking about?
Burlington.
Vermont.
Oh.
No, go away. July 16th, this Sunday, the biggest. It's 9th annual festival in Shelburne. And you can get tickets at VermontCheeseFest.com. The event that I'm going to is one of, in my opinion, the best beer festivals. It's called Pills and Love, and it is taking place at Oxbow Brewing in Maine. That is going to be Saturday at 3 p.m. You can get tickets at Eventbrite or at Oxbow. Everybody, really, of course, I like my IPAs, but this is a collaboration between a Italian beer company and Oxbow, and there are some really, really great. You're going to see The Veil out of North Carolina, that is unbelievable. Russian River, if you've ever had any of their stuff, out of California, that is amazing. There's so many breweries that you will not see at your average beer festival.
I went to a party once that was called Pills and Love. I don't think it's anything like this.
Yeah.
I think that was a very different night.
Mm-hmm. You were tripping. What do you got?
Not in the theoretical sense. It's a beer themed kind of everything is awesome. for those of you listening to us from Vermont right now, tomorrow night in Burlington, I will be performing a bunch of other awesome comedians at Foam Brewers. And that's 112 Lake Street in Burlington at 7 o'clock. It's free to get in. They have all their fantastic brews. And I got to say, the lineup's pretty incredible. If I, not to toot my own horn, but beep, 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 beep. And with that in mind, actually, I usually don't connect day life to nightlife, but this is so awesome. next week on Tuesday, July 18th, the Greenside Grill down at South Shore Country Club, for all our South Shore listeners, they're actually joining forces with Barrel House Z and Bully Boy Distilleries to do a really cool sampling night. Barrel House Z actually has been working with the head chef to create a special beer specifically only for the Greenside Grill. And this is your chance to try it for the first time and even help pick the name of it. So if you guys want to do that, it's going to be at 6:30 to 9:30, and you can make your reservations at the Greenside Grill at Raphael's.com.
If you like lawn flamingos...
Who doesn't like lawn flamingos in their right mind?
Have I got the grill for you? Traeger, they're the ones that make the electric grill that heats up the wood pellets.
Oh, yeah. Those are dope. Yeah.
You get that awesome smoky quality to the food, and you can also use them on porches and balconies in and around the Boston area. Mm-hmm. Well, they have a grill that is bright pink and shaped like a pig. This is the...
Do you see how my eyes
Oh, my God. I'm looking at the picture on Dee's computer.
This is
dope.
The Traeger Little Pig Grill.
Oh, I love it so much.
And the whole back of it opens up with all of your tasty grill area.
And how wonderful would it be to cook, like, bacon and pork on it?
And it's just...
Like, it's just like the real thing. It's inside the pig.
I'm actually speechless.
It is adorable.
It's so cute.
If you like lawn flamingos...
It even has, like, pretty eyelashes.
If you like lawn flamingos and American Kitsch, and those are metal, like, eyelashes on this...
Oh, I can see it from there.
If you like lawn flamingos and American Kitsch, this belongs in your backyard. It's going to set you back $1,600. But, folks, it's a grill shaped like a pig. All right? More things that cook should look like the things that they cook. That's really what it comes down to.
Coming soon, cow-shaped grill.
If you find yourself on 93 South, over by the gas tank, the big natural gas tank with Ho Chi Minh on it, get over to the right-hand lane, and you will catch a glimpse of this out in front of Yale Appliance. If you're in the vicinity of Freeport Street in Dorchester, pop into Yale Appliance. They've got it sitting outside, and you can get up close and personal with the Little Pig Grill yourself. This is about the size of one of those standard propane grills.
Yeah.
This isn't small.
I was going to say, it looks deceiving just because it's short and stout like a pig in the picture.
But. I really want one.
It's a big-ass... That pig on wheels.
That is a price tag right there.
That
too.
Doubles as an electronic.
2,000?
Actually, that was an over.
$1,600.
Yeah, $1,600.
And the pig is yours. The Little Pig Grill from Traeger. I want one.
Little pig.
By the way, can I just say, my wife, who has never grilled anything in her life, has a lot of opinions on what a grill should do.
Now I'm going to get the angry text from her. Derek.
Hi, Mom.
And the best thing that happened, the craziest story from this week's news. In fact, not Florida, Oklahoma. Cops in Muskogee, Oklahoma, said they arrested 35-year-old Brandon Thompson July 4th on 6 felony warrants and were leading him to a waiting police car when he made an unusual request. Quote, I asked the officer if I could propose, Thompson later told CNN. The officer said, you want to do what? And I said, I want to propose to her. The arresting officers who cuffed Thompson while he was celebrating not only Independence Day, but also his birthday, took pity on him. In police body camera footage of the encounter, Thompson can be heard telling his girlfriend, I love you, will you marry me and be my wife? When Keith, the girlfriend, agrees, an officer can be switching Thompson's handcuffs from the back to the front so he can place the engagement ring on her finger. The local police department posted the video of the proposal on its Facebook page. As of Monday, it was viewed more than 12,000 times. The couple, it now has to appear to be better for worse down pat, and it's yet to be seen if a marriage is the only institution for their immediate future. According to local news, a groom-to-be was taken to county jail and faced multiple charges, including a possession of firearm by felon, possession of controlled substance, and failure to appear in court. The new fiancé bailed him out the next day after his arrest. That's love, folks.
This isn't too crazy a story, only the context within it, which you will soon understand.
Police in Manchester, New Hampshire arrested a man with a familiar name on a drug charge yesterday. Ronald McDonald, 34, is facing a charge of possession of a controlled drug.
Tough times at McD's.
Officers were checking for graffiti behind Merrimack Street when they noticed two men, including McDonald, on the doorstep. McDonald walked behind the alley and dropped an object identified as a empty hypodermic needle moments later. Officers then noticed a clear bag hanging out of his pocket and a bulge in his sock, which is identified as 3.3 grams of heroin, not a spare cheeseburger.
Damn.
Damn. Oh, good.
That's a lot of heroin.
That is a lot of heroin.
Saudi Arabia. The ongoing dispute between Qatar, Bahrain, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates took a bizarre turn over the weekend after a reporter with Saudi-based Al Arabia tweeted that Qatar was dealing with genies. A series of tweets kicked off with, quote, sorcerers from Senegal and Mauritania get millions of dollars after sheiks in Qatar offer to bring down spirits and harness genies to solve the crisis, end quote. Qatari users responded by suggesting that a branch of Hogwarts would soon open in their nation. No word on whether the reporter has been offered a job at CNN, but I think we can assume that...
How come you guys say Qatar and I have to say Qatar?
You can call it Qatar if you want to.
Well, from now on, I'm calling it Qatar. Qatar makes me think of like a sad high school girl. Qatar makes me think place in the Middle East.
Qatar, it just sort of works
for
me.
Qatar Bear.
I heard gutter. Some people call it gutter.
Yeah, you shouldn't call it gutter because that's my.
Yeah, that's the one that I nixed in my how do I pronounce the name of this country search.
A lot of people do call it Qatar. I've always called it Qatar.
Qatar, yeah.
Will whoever is beating up Qatar Bear kindly knock that off?
Yeah, seriously.
Can we stop hitting Qatar Bear?
Poor Boo.
I'm really getting tired of reading about Qatar Bear getting beat up because it's that's not cool.
I think he's doing
pobre Qatar Bear.
Yeah, everybody likes Qatar Bear. I don't know
what is not to like. It's a bear that plays the Qatar. What is your issue with this?
Some people, you know, I understand seeing.
Some people are just mad to be mad.
I understand a mascot or seeing somebody in a fur animal suit and wanting to punch them. You know, because it's sort of like. You know, if you're like me and you're angry all the time, it's just sort of...
It's just a given.
Someone who seems to be having
like
a good time.
It's like giant stuffed animal. Yeah, I want to punch them in the face.
Yeah. It's just sort of like, oh...
I can't imagine you at a furries convention.
Oh, get a load of joke.
Oh, God. He would just...
Yeah. Get a load of Jokey McClown in the bear suit over here. I get it. But the distance between thinking about hitting the person in the bear suit...
And actually
hitting the person in the bear suit is pretty wide.
There's some sort of restraint that happens.
There's a lot of space in there where normal people back
One
off.
One would hope, yeah.
And say, no, I shouldn't hit the bear with the instrument. Boston, apparently... this is just another example where we look bad.
Yeah.
You know?
We're racist and we beat up bears.
Well, they
not only are we racist, we are also apparently against fun furry creatures who play music.
They yelled racist slurs at Qatar Bear while they beat him up. So yes, we are racist. Way to go, Boston. We're scoring all the points this time. That is all the time we got on the Tell Mikey D is coming up in just a minute with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. Until next week, she is Lisa Nichols.
It was lovely as always.
She is Chase Mullane.
Love you guys. Mwah.
I am Derek Gary. Stay safe, everybody.